Small details or big surfaces, tight corners or odd shapes, flat, rounded, textured, or tall. Whatever your next project, there's a spray paint pattern that's just right. Because Rust-Oleum's new Custom Spray 5-in-1 gives you control with 5 different spray patterns. So you can tackle nooks, crannies, edges, and curves without worrying about drips, runs, uneven coverage, or anything else. Custom Spray 5-in-1. Only from Rust-Oleum.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom. Like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Outspoken with White and Jordan. 100% engagement.
It's a total disrespect.
Download, stand well back, listen.
Jim White and Simon Jordan.
I don't see that view.
Outspoken with White and Jordan.
From the world's biggest sports radio station, Talk Sport.
Thanks for listening to Outspoken with White and Jordan. I'm Jim White, and today myself, Simon and Danny Murphy discuss Arsenal's thrashing of Chelsea. Is there life in this title race yet, or are they merely delaying the inevitable? And Chelsea, what was that? Did they forget it was a London derby? Meantime, the PGMOL now accepts Nottingham Forest's request by providing them with the VAR audio from their game with Everton, though it will not be made public. What is the end game of it all for Forest? And we get the latest on Jurgen Klopp's potential replacement Arne Slot as Liverpool make their approach to Feyenoord for the Dutch coach. This is Outspoken with White and Jordan. Arsenal absolutely battered Chelsea 5-0 to go 3 points clear of Liverpool and 4 ahead of Manchester City at the top of the table. Where does it leave the title race? This was Mikel Arteta.
What this boy have done in the last 10 days is unbelievable. When you look at the numbers of some of them, it's unreal, but they can do it and they can improve themselves because they want to. And they have this mentality that they really want to win it. The margins are so small, and sometimes on the day you cannot be better than your opponent, or you don't have the luck that you need in certain moments. But what do you have to do? You have to react and face the moment, and the moment is beautiful. We've been working for it for 9 months, so we certainly have to face it in the right way, value what we have, and especially believe. If you are able to do it for 9 months, you are able to win it, but you have to believe it first, and you have to consistently do what you've been doing, nothing else.
I love that. At the moment, it's beautiful. And it was, if you're an Arsenal fan. Danny, is there life in this title race yet? Or are they merely delaying the inevitable?
No, I think there's life in it. Because if Liverpool and Arsenal keep winning from this, you know, it puts a bit of pressure on City, who've got 2 tough away games at Brighton and Tottenham. Now, if City go away to Brighton 10 times, they probably win 7. If they go away to Tottenham 10 times, they probably win 7, maybe 6. So there's a small chance they could mess one of those up, but it's unlikely. But all Arsenal and Liverpool can keep doing is what they did at the weekend and bounce back from a difficult week and put the pressure on those City players. Because the last thing you don't want City going into a game where they think we've got a free hit and we can lose one. The pressure will build and each game will become bigger. So yeah, it was a great performance from Arsenal.
It was. I didn't think they'd stop at 5, Simon. I mean, they tried to add to that, but they didn't. And I'm wondering how pivotal Arsenal's superior goal difference might end up being. Their goal difference is 13 better than Liverpool's and 12 up on City.
Yeah.
I mean, that could be worth a point, couldn't it?
Yeah, I mean, it could be. I mean, we have this run-in that Arsenal have, which I'm going to go to the game on Sunday against Spurs, and I think that would be a fascinating fixture. They've also got United in the mix, and we never know what that looks like. So I find it difficult to see past Man City not being able to overcome, with due respect to these sides, Wolves, West Ham. I think if City go to Brighton and they're at it, they'll beat Brighton 9 times out of 10 at Brighton, not 7. I disagree with Danny on that.
Well, I meant they might get a couple of lucky draws.
I think Forest they'll beat, and the challenge might be, I don't think it'll be Fulham, it might be Spurs. But I think City will do their job. So I don't think goal difference will come into play. I think they'll do their job. But I think what Arsenal have done is do what they should do, which is keep the title race honest, keep doing what they can do, because they can only do what they do. I think Arteta, in most occasions, I think he spoke very well after the Bayern Munich defeat. I'm not in his camp of communication where it's all lovey-dovey and kumbaya, but that's a modern-day manager's communication with the media. I think what he's done is he's brought together a side which has progressed. The tragedy is that Arsenal have become an irresistible force, but Man City are still an immovable object.
Yes.
And that's the challenge that they have. Any other league, at any other time, Arsenal would be winning this league, I suspect, or would be nip and tuck between them and Liverpool.
Yeah. I mean, Danny, as you chase their 6 and 7 years, would this be Pep's best, most impressive title win yet?
No, I don't think so. I think overcoming that Klopp's Liverpool side when it was flying, you know, what was it, 96, 97 point. I mean, Pep's with this City side, he's had seasons where they've got, I think he'd done 100 points once.
But this is new, this is a three-horse race.
I know, but the level of performance and consistency that City have had in previous seasons is higher than this one. They're not going to reach the tallies they've reached before. So no, it's not the most impressive. I think there was a spell where Liverpool and City were going head-to-head, and that Liverpool side was, I mean, relentless, and City still got over the line with that amazing finish. I think it was, 16 wins, was it, or something ridiculous. So no, I don't, but it would still be an achievement because it's come after a treble. And the hardest thing must be as a manager is maintaining hunger when so many of your players have won everything and could easily fall into what they call a comfort zone.
Yeah.
And have a little dodgy season. Have a bad few months. It just hasn't happened. I mean, sure. Even the Real Madrid game, City completely dominated them.
Well, I mean, you heard Arteta saying that right now life is beautiful, and this is a culmination of 9 months' work. But is a life in this
life's beautiful
race
for anyone on $6 million a year?
Correct. Is a life in this title race yet, or are they merely delaying the inevitable that the title itself will end up at the Etihad? But Chelsea, what was that? What was it? Did they forget that this was a London derby? Can they do anything, or can't they do anything, when Cole Palmer is not in the team? Youth and age, is it a valid justification or is it a pathetic excuse? Pochettino faced up to it afterwards.
I think we cannot blame the players. I'm not going to blame the players. Are the circumstances that are bigger than the performance of the player? I think we cannot blame young guys that came here after suffering some circumstance, the team, you know, you need to come here and to fight again a team that is preparing to win the Premier League. The club is building a new project, a new way to operate. And of course, always that is the risk that you need to take when you build a young squad, that sometime with all the circumstances that we are living, because it's true that that the circumstances that are not helping to be, you know, more competitive and helping to be better or to be more consistent, that is the reason that in this type of game that can happen, no? When you play again a team that in the last 3-4 years are preparing, you know, they are preparing to win the Premier League or to fight for big trophy like the Champions League.
Chelsea fans are onto us in big numbers already. I'm not surprised at that. Ash is a Chelsea fan. It was disgusting. Players look uninterested and clueless. Get this season over with. That's a Chelsea fan. With everything that's happened at the top of the house, there should be excitement, shouldn't there? Danny, he's saying don't blame the players. He says the circumstances aren't helping us. What circumstances?
Well, you've got to... It's context, you see. I mean, the last couple of months, Chelsea have been in much better form, played much better. That performance last night wasn't great. First off, did all right. Had some good chances. Played all right. Got, yes, not brilliant, but they were competitive. And they ended up going in, I think, two
down. But that's the least they can do, isn't it?
Yeah, of course. But they had some good chances. Mm. Arsenal put theirs away. The reality is Chelsea have been doing better and should have won the semi-final against City quite comfortably, actually, with the chances. Probably could have won the League Cup final against Liverpool with a bit more nous in the side. Had chances again.
But didn't and didn't.
No, but there's progression there from when he started to now. Now, this performance has set everyone back and going, becoming frantic about losing 5-0 a few days after the Lord Mayor's show, the final piece against the semi-final showpiece at Wembley, where they put everything in. Three of the back four changed. They also lost their best player in Cole Palmer, and they're also up against a side fighting to bounce back to getting this title who've got better players. Now, you can look at players' attitudes and application. I didn't see Chelsea players' lack of attitude and application. I saw in the middle of the pitch where games are won and lost, two players for Arsenal in Rice and Odegaard who were at the top of their game. And I saw three players in the Chelsea midfield who are young, not at the top of their game, and trying to aspire to be like those two. and they got completely dominated.
But how can youth be an excuse?
Well, because
it was never an excuse for Michael Owen, was it?
No, but if you've got a okay, so the philosophy of Chelsea, which isn't Pochettino's fault, was to go and buy all this potential, throw it together and see if it could succeed. Highly unlikely, because nearly all good teams over the years have had a nice blend. So with that, you're going to get the inconsistency. If you watch Chelsea play against Manchester City at the weekend, that was a good performance from a good side, full of potential, and it's got a chance of progressing nicely. Then there's a few changes, maybe the mentality shifts, maybe the confidence drops. They go turn up at Arsenal and get done. That's young players. You can't expect a team full of young players to be consistent. It doesn't happen. But that one-off performance wouldn't worry me too much if I was a Chelsea fan.
So because they're young, you're letting them off with a 5-0 defeat?
No, I'm not letting them off. You've got to look at it. You go and do the videos. You look at who's not at it. You go over it. You analyse it.
Who's not at it?
If anyone's not at it, you look at it.
And that's a lack of application, isn't it?
Well, no, I'm not saying I didn't see that. But that's what you look for when you do the post-analysis. I've watched it once. They'll watch it two and three times. If there's one or two switch off late on when they're 3-0 down, that tells you something about the mentality. The reality is Chelsea, in the last couple of months, have been a hell of a lot better. And if you've watched them as much as I have, you'd know that. You cut one off bad game against a hell of a side where he gets done in at Arsenal. It's not ideal.
There's a message, Danny. I don't hear Danny making these excuses when Manchester United play poorly or get hammered. Why doesn't Poch get the same treatment from TalkSport that Ten Hag gets?
Well, I think he's been hammered a lot this season. Man U's performances have been very different than Chelsea's recently. Mm. And Ten Hag's been in the job a lot longer. And they've spent a fortune under Ten Hag's reign. Poch has been in the door 5 minutes, really.
Is James the Arsenal fan right? He says people keep saying Chelsea are a young team. Jackson's the same age virtually as Haaland. They're just a poor, poor squad.
But that's individuals. But I mean, Danny's clearly explained it for anyone that wants to choose to listen. Being not at it doesn't mean not at it physically. It means that maybe mentally you're not capable of competing at certain times of the games because you're a younger player that doesn't understand the landscape. You look at what Chelsea have played like in recent weeks, and I think there's been a marked improvement. Man United have got senior players on that pitch all over the place. Mm. I think their midfield, Chelsea midfield, should do better. You've got a World Cup winner in there. You've got a boy that's been bought for 100 million quid. Those players are not operating at their highest level. But Arsenal are a better side than Chelsea. And so Chelsea, you know, again, I hate to keep referencing this, but this thing I did with Terry the other day that comes out tomorrow, he spoke about the balance all the time. The one thing that Chelsea haven't got at this moment in time right is they've got a lot of young players. Kids have described them as kids. They're kids. They're going to be good players, but people are going to have to accept right now that a group of kids have been thrown together and the balance is wrong.
So was Pochettino set up to fail then, Simon?
Well, no. I mean, Pochettino...
Should we just accept Chelsea right now because of the nature of the beast will underachieve?
Well, it depends if you want to micromanage and everything. This season...
They lost 5-0.
Yeah, they lost 5-0.
In a London
in
derby.
One game out of 38th, right? They've been in a cup semi-final that they should have won, and if it wasn't for the profligacy of their centre-forward, they would have done.
The ninth. Right. They drew with Sheffield United. And, yeah, fine. No offence to the Blades.
Understood that, and they beat Everton 6-0 last week, and no one was saying this last week. So the reality of it is we move in moments. If you're looking at the picture, is what Chelsea are producing on the pitch acceptable to a Chelsea fan base that have been used to buying success and have had a club that's been manufactured out of Roman Abramovich's money and bought success with it and changed managers every 5 minutes.
But he still buys success and it doesn't work.
And they've bought a different blend of success now. They've bought players that other people wanted. They've paid a lot of money for them. And unfortunately, right now, it hasn't gelled. Do I believe that Pochettino gets you to the Holy Grail and wins you the Premier League? No, I do not. But do I believe that Chelsea are evolving and getting better? I saw things from Chelsea in the last 2 weeks, and I'm not defending Bowley or Chelsea against United or anybody else. I'm dealing with the question of Chelsea, and then we can deal with United, who we hammer on a weekly, daily basis every time they don't turn up, which is pretty frequent. So that's an irrelevant observation. But you look at it and say, well, let's get the nuance. What Danny did was perfectly give you the nuance to the conversation, which is balance, young players, players not available, and the project. And the project is that Chelsea bought young players, and the expectation is they were going to hit the ground running, and they haven't. But notwithstanding that, they'll probably still finish 8th or 7th in the league. Not great by Chelsea standards. They'll have got to a League Cup final. They could have won, but they didn't. And they've got to a semi-final against arguably the best team in world football and could and should have beaten them if they had a centre-forward that could score goals. The margins are small.
They are small, but all that aside, there is definitely a question mark over the philosophy to spend that much money only on young players, for sure.
They're going to have to fix that.
But nobody's ever done it like them. So there's no evidence that that's going to be successful because nobody's done that before. To plough that much money into a group of young players and expect them to progress. See, recruitment is every...
But in fairness, Dan...
Some of them are good.
Some of those young players aren't that young, right? We're talking about Enzo Fernandez.
They're the youngest team in the Premier League.
He's a World Cup winner. Right?
He's still only 22.
But notwithstanding, he's a World Cup winner and he's got experience, and Jude Bellingham doesn't seem to have a problem. I know I'm going down the route.
If you let me finish, I was getting to the point, which I think you might be getting to, is I'm saying that the recruitment of some of those young players might be wrong, not just because they're young, because they're actually they're not as good as they think they are. Because there's no one in that Chelsea midfield. Declan Rice at their age was better than them.
Yeah.
Jude's better than them. You know, you could start going down that line. Mm. Are enough of them going to evolve into what you think they're going to be for them to be title defenders?
While we wait for them to evolve, though, Simon, other clubs and other sides will make
absolutely
great strides and progress as well. So Chelsea maybe might take a while yet,
but maybe they will,
to counter your argument before they can catch
maybe
up.
Maybe they will and maybe they won't. Right now, it's taken Arsenal 5 years to get themselves into a situation where they are now a very competitive side, right? And you look at Chelsea, and because of the micromanagement of media, and that's what happens, you judge people in the here and now, because you've got to. You just lost 5-0. The immediate reaction is, what the hell's going on here? Chelsea will have learned, and if they haven't learned the lessons, that they need balance. It's clear, in the eyes of anybody, even blind Pew, it's clear, we need a better balance. We've got a good group of young players that we bought and paid too much money for, but we haven't got the balance right. Now, Pochettino, I don't give Pochettino a pass. That antics on the pitch last week showed the immaturity and childishness of the players on the field, and Pochettino should have had that ingrained in them. The fact that they thought they could fart-ass around with a penalty because they were winning 4-0 shows the character of some of these players. But it's not going to be a difficult fix, to be honest with you, because if they've got players that are capable of playing in fits and starts like they've seen recently, and you put a nicer blend of better pros in there, senior pros, you're going to get some rocket fuel going there.
Yeah.
And I wouldn't be surprised, not win the league, like I said, the next 2 years. I take that point, and even people like Tim Sherwood can have a snigger at me if they want to. Right? And that's in the bottom when you get those people laughing at you. But the point is that I think Chelsea will get better, and they're getting better. And last night, you played against a better side that have got the motivation.
And also, you know, when people question the desire of the players, no one questioned the desire of the Chelsea players when they're 3-2 down at home to United and win 4-3. Was it 4-3 or 3-2? Whatever it was. And nobody was questioning their application and desire against the best team in Europe at the weekend. It's results cloud people's judgment on players. The reality was last night, they had a hangover from the weekend, and they got overrun in the middle of the pitch.
But what else are you meant to judge them on? Results.
On a body of work.
Body of work. Our Chelsea.
There's a Chelsea fan last night who left early saying, but looking at the body of work.
No, I hear that. Well, then they should.
Because I tell you Simon. What. Was there a Chelsea. Okay, then was last week's win against Everton kryptonite? Was that something else? Was that some, you know...
It shows better of that, though. They win 6-0 one week and lose 5 the next.
But Danny's explained it. That's what young players do. That's why young players
can't be the
fabric of a side.
Arsenal had one of the youngest squads in the league last season. All right, many think they bottled it, but they went damn close.
With a nice blend of experienced players in there.
Mm.
They had a nice blend of... They had some young players.
Well, they brought Jorginho in last year for that reason. Jesus has been in one title.
They've got Jesus in there. They've got Ben White playing.
I mean, there's Rob. Poch for me sounds like a bridesmaid. The club are used to born winners. Jose Ancelotti, Conte. They're a shadow of their former selves, and they need to get a proven winner in the dugout. Maybe they do, but Chelsea fans, were you there last night? What was your mood when you left?
Hey, folks, I'm Mark Maron from the WTF Podcast, and this episode is brought to you by Kleenex Ultra Soft Tissues, your ally to help tackle your allergy symptoms this season. I love the change of seasons, but nobody loves pollen and all those other things floating in the air that make you sneeze during this nice weather. Kleenex Ultra Soft Tissues are hypoallergenic and allergist approved. So fight back against watery eyes and runny noses without worrying about irritating your skin. For this allergy season, grab Kleenex and face allergies head on.
A lot can happen in 3 years, like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage that lasts nearly 3 years in some states. Learn more at uh1.com.
This is Paige, the co-host of Giggly Squad, and I want to tell you about a company that I've been loving, Olive & June. Olive & June gives you everything that you need for a salon-quality manicure in one box. And if you break it down, it really comes out to $2 a manicure, which is absolutely insane. It's also so easy to get salon-worthy nails at home with Olive & June. The difference between how your nails used to look when you did them yourself and now with the Manny system is a complete game changer. The best thing about Olive & June, too, is it's a quick dry. It dries in about 1 minute, lasts for 5 days, and full coverage in up to 1 to 2 coats. Visit oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system. That's oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system.
Download, stand well back, listen.
Outspoken with White and Jordan.
From the world's biggest sports radio station, Talk Sport.
There's a Chelsea fan, no name in it. Morning, guys. The overall body of work at Chelsea is inconsistent drivel. You've let Chelsea off the hook this morning. They've been diabolical. You don't criticise Chelsea in the same light as any other club. Well, I'm not so sure about that. Simon's with me alongside Danny. We'll get your calls. Let's do it right now. 03717 223344. Pochettino says, I think we cannot blame the players. The circumstances are not helping us. Michael's a big Chelsea fan. Michael, good morning. What are the circumstances that Pochettino's talking about?
Morning, chaps. Love the show as always.
Morning. Thank you, Michael.
To be fair, look, you can blame youth all you want, but you can't go to the Emirates against one of your biggest rivals and put in a performance like that and get laughed about. You know, it was absolutely shambolic. The thing is, you can have all the ability in the world, but to get that balance, there needs to be a mentality there. You know, there's no leadership. I mean, Conor Gallagher, you know, he can run around and win the ball and stuff, but I don't see him as a leader, as a captain. You need someone that can go and pick the players up when they're performing as badly as they did yesterday, rough them up a little bit and get them to play better. It was absolutely shocking.
Are you talking about more senior players on the pitch or around the training ground to actually create and help that mentality?
Yes.
Because they haven't got them, have they?
Yes, you've got nothing. There's no leadership. There's no leadership whatsoever. I mean, to be fair, the way we played against City, if Jackson had taken his chances, we should have won that. And even yesterday, he had 3 good chances. And look, he's young. He's probably shot of confidence, but still, there's no excuse. There's no excuse. He handballed it instead of headering it.
Yeah, I saw that, yeah.
And even the second half, he had the whole goal to shoot at, and he tries to go keep his near post instead of smash it on the other side.
Are you happy to give it time, Michael?
He's got no choice.
To be fair, yeah, that's true. There's no choice.
Just on the circumstances that Jim asked you at the beginning, I'm thinking about that. I think what Poch is alluding to is the fact that the amount of the imbalance in the squad. He's not saying it by hammering Bowley, but he's saying the circumstances around, look, we've got some injuries and we've only got young players, so what do you expect? Mm. That's what he's talking about, circumstances.
Yeah, you go to Villa this weekend, Michael. Do you expect to get anything?
Well, I mean, to be fair, we could lose 5-0 against Arsenal and then probably win 4-0 against Villa. That's the season so far, but
all right.
I don't know. Yeah, we'll see. We'll see.
Okay, thanks for your call, mate. Here's Sean, another Chelsea fan, one of many. A couple of many coming on now in numbers. Sean, good morning. What did you witness last night? What's your takeaway from it?
Morning, Jim, Danny, Simon,
morning,
life idol. I'm half happy that Cole Palmer didn't play last night because he can't carry this team on his shoulders just constantly. It don't do nothing for his confidence when he's the only player playing for Chelsea. The confidence level is just too low. There's no leaders on the pitch. It was just awful. Just awful, like, absolutely shocking.
He has been leading, Euron, and luckily for Chelsea is that when Chelsea don't play well and lose, his confidence doesn't get affected at all. That's a brilliant thing. But when you look at some of the players like Mudrić, who's got this pace and skill, but he's looked shot of any belief in himself or confidence.
Yeah.
You know, how do you change that? Well, I always feel and always think it's necessary, and I from personal experience. And the two best examples at Liverpool, when they brought Gary McAllister in at 35, was he, Jim? I think.
Yeah.
And Dietmar Hamann, who was a German international who played at Munich, those two were unbelievable at guiding you through games at times when things weren't going well. Helping you out, little comments, organising the team, keeping structure, getting you back in.
Right.
Chelsea don't have them.
No. Sean, listen, thanks for your call. Simon's your idol, is he?
Legend.
Legend.
I mean, most things he says I take. Not all, but most.
There you go, Simon.
Thank you very much.
There you go. Sean, thank you for that. There's a message coming in. One of many. Morning, guys. Chelsea, home and away I go. I agree with Danny and Simon on the young squad theory, but I was watching Madueka, Enzo, Jackson, who trot around, no closing down. Doesn't matter what age you are. That surely is a basic.
Well, hold on. What? I mean, you can accuse Jackson of not being good finisher, but you can't accuse him of not working hard. Fella doesn't stop. He closes down, he runs the channels, he must cover more ground than most strikers in the Premier League now.
So he gets a pass at the moment?
Well, I think if you're going to accuse someone of not closing down, not working hard, you need to look at the numbers surrounding Jackson, because his numbers are ridiculous.
But this fellow follows him home and away.
Well, you see the same thing on telly as you know. I get that. I can see the numbers. Mm. I'm lucky enough to get the numbers. Nicholas Jackson cannot be accused of anything in terms of his work, I think, but he can certainly be accused of being a poor finisher. But let's not, you know, let's put things in perspective.
And he's here to finish.
Pardon?
That's his job.
Exactly.
Yeah. Jay, big Chelsea fan, what's your take on this? Are you going to give them time?
How are we?
Good, Jay.
Good morning.
How are you, mate?
Well, I'm very well. I was with you. I agree with a lot of what Simon and Danny have said today. Simon, particularly from the business side of things and the owners and the way they've restructured the club and what's going on at the club. And from Danny's point of view, when he refers to a young playing staff and a lack of seniors. And therein lies the problem at the club. I think it's abundantly clear, okay? There is a severe lack of senior pros within the squad that can bring along these guys, these youngsters, who are quite clearly... But where I have a problem with what's going on at the club and the guys, Clearlake and Bowley and those guys, is that their plan is a hugely unrealistic one of bringing in young players who a lot of people actually didn't know. I heard people talking about Enzo winning a World Cup, okay? No, Enzo didn't win the World Cup. Messi won the World Cup for Argentina.
Yeah,
I believe that Enzo played a couple of games and wasn't a starter at the World Cup.
Yeah, no, he did. He started. He got in after the second game and stayed in, to be fair to him, so he did. But yeah, it's a fair point you make about that.
You think, Jay, the ownership are being unrealistic?
I think we all understand, right? I've played the games, not to a professional level like Danny has, but I've played the game at a very high level, and you guys have been around it, right? You know it very well, and we can all agree that this procedure, this plan, this direction, whatever you want to call it, I hate the word project, but it's been used, is a hugely unrealistic one that's never been done before. The best sides that have ever won titles across the planet. Mm. Have a good blend of senior players and young players. And that's how you bring them through. You talk about Michael Owen. Yes, but Michael Owen, when Michael Owen came through, right, he was an extreme exception. But look who he had around him.
Yes,
when
yeah.
Right? Jackson, you know, Jackson would have never started as a Chelsea striker. He would have waited his time. You would have had guys like Anelka and Drogba.
So, Jay, the suggestion being, Simon, that the way the ownership have gone about it is unrealistic.
Well, I think that's pretty self-evident, isn't it? I think we've all been saying the same thing, that the balance is wrong. But I don't believe that you can just exonerate Pochettino from the equation and suggest that the £400 million that was spent during the period of time that he's there... cannot be considered as choices that... I mean, the argument is constantly and persistently... And
he's
insistent.
Not getting involved in what players are coming.
Well, I don't believe that.
I do.
Well, so let's just pare it back a second.
No chance.
Let's just pare it back a second. Chelsea are chasing after Pochettino. They've got a problem last summer. They're trying to get him in early, right? They want to bring him in. He doesn't want to come in because he doesn't want to make it his side. He doesn't want to assume the role. So Lampard goes in there and does whatever Lampard does and doesn't do. So the guy that they're seeking, that they really want, right, has absolutely no say... in the materials that they're going to provide.
Well,
so Pochettino is going to walk through the door and go, I'm going to come in, right, and I'm going to be responsible for a team that I'm going to have no input in who you buy. It's a ridiculous assertion. He had all the currency, all the juice. He was the one that they were chasing. He wasn't chasing them. And as part of his conditionality of going to Chelsea would have been a manager saying, to some extent, I imagine I'm going to be involved significantly in which players we do and don't
I think the word significantly would be wrong. I think maybe he would sit down when the players are presented and go, I'd prefer him rather than him. But you don't spend millions of pounds on two different directors of football and buy, get him from Brighton, get him from all those different... the Brighton guys, bring all those in. They like many clubs now, present the players to the coach.
But that's the same thing. Unless the manager to go scouting, what you're saying is silly. But Klopp doesn't go scouting. They get good players.
Klopp has earned the right, as years have gone by, to be more of a dictator on what players come in and don't.
Simon, that other clubs have done what Chelsea haven't done. Like Newcastle recruit Anthony Gordon, Villa not recently, but in time gone by, Ollie Watkins. I mean, last night we haven't even addressed this. One of the star guys on the pitch was a much maligned Kai Havertz, once of Chelsea, now of Arsenal.
Well, okay. Anthony Gordon's a bad example because he's exactly the type Chelsea would go for.
That's my point.
No, but what they don't do is go for people like Kieran Trippier, which is the perfect type.
Whatever Newcastle do, right? Let's just be clear. So when we're comparing and contrasting, right, the media and the fan bases are very different towards Newcastle than they are towards Chelsea. So the expectation of Chelsea is that Chelsea are going to winning the league. The expectation of Newcastle is that they've been run by Mike Ashley, a miserly curmudgeon that gave them no money, and anything above the bottom four is a good return for Newcastle. And so their fan base were delighted, the energy was there, and they made some sensible decisions. Did anyone advocate for Chelsea buying Chris Wood then?
No, Newcastle.
No, I'm suggesting Newcastle bought Chris Wood because at the moment in time to do certain jobs, and there's a different level of expectation. It doesn't give Chelsea a pass. These players that they've paid far too much money for and have invested have been the wrong balance. And if they don't get the right balance this summer, then I think everyone should be piling in on them.
Just to finalise and repeat something. It's not just about these players progressing to become really good and Chelsea get better. My concern for Chelsea is that what they've done by buying these young players full of potential is some of them aren't as good as they thought they were.
Hear any complaints about the lack of involvement from Pochettino about Cole Palmer. Who bought that player? Oh, that's a success. That one worked out. Oh, okay.
The world's most dangerous download. Outspoken with White and Jordan. From the world's biggest sports radio station, Talk Sport.
It was a matter of time, Simon, Danny, before we'd get to it. But we've got to it. After 48 hours of rolling club statements, alleging potential bias amongst referees and calling on rule changes, the PGMOL now accept Nottingham Forest's request by providing them with the VAR audio from that game with Everton. Not one, not two, but three unsuccessful penalty claims made by Forest. And they're still seething that in their eyes, the man who was on VAR, Stuart Atwell, is a recognised Luton fan and shouldn't have been on VAR. So they're going to get the audio. Forrest will hear the audio, Simon, as requested, and they'll hear it in private, as supplied by the PGMOL. What we would stress, it's our understanding, is that this is not unusual or unique. It's simply done on request.
Yeah.
So now they've got it. What's Marinakis doing as I'm looking at you this morning in studio? Is he sitting listening to the audio right now, wondering what they're going to do next?
Well, I don't imagine he will be. I imagine those around him that have advised him and have drafted the statements are going to look at what they can find from it, given that they've made so much noise. And we would expect to hear from Nottingham Forest what it is they've ascertained and gleaned, given they're the ones that wanted the information. And again, as you quite rightly point out, I don't think there's been any particular resistance to giving them the audio. I think, as you point out, the process is it has to be asked for and applied for. I'm sure it doesn't have to be asked and applied for by suggesting that people are corrupt. I'm sure that's not part of the protocol of asking, but that's the manner in which Forest have chosen to ask for it initially, or part of the structure they put in place. Now we will see. They've, you know, it's like that old expression from Reservoir Dogs. Are you going to bark all day, little doggy, or are you going to bite? Right? Because now you've got an opportunity to come back against the strident approach that you've taken.
Yeah.
Okay, away you go.
Yeah. I mean, to put this into context, Danny, we've seen this happen before. The audio from the Luis Diaz goal for Liverpool at Tottenham, that was released publicly earlier this season. But that's a different matter, as that was a factual communication error. Whereas these are subjective situations. Anyway, the upshot is Forest have got it. But what do they do after that?
Well, I'm not really sure where they can go with it unless there's something ridiculously unique in the audio, which I don't think there will be. All you'll hear is a little bit of chat around the decisions, which some people will agree with and some won't. It might sound rushed, it might sound panicked, it might sound frantic, it might sound wrong to some people, might sound right to others, but you're not going to hear... I mean, what do they think is going to happen? That Stuart Outwell's going to say, don't give that one. Don't, you know, like, I don't want... I don't
no,
want,
whatever you do, don't give that.
Yeah, because I don't want Forest.
Or that one,
yeah,
or
I mean,
that
it's ridiculous to the extreme, really. I mean, the thing that gets me, if the ruling around... Look, all officials have to, as far as I'm aware, they let the PGMOL know who their team is. Yeah? So they know. And then the PGMOL decide or delegates certain games to certain officials with the information in hand to avoid things like this. It doesn't mean they can never ref somebody who maybe they've said they've supported as a boy or whatever, but they're more careful with it because they have the information. That's my understanding. If the members of the Premier League, i.e. Forest being one, were not clear or not happy on the protocol of this, then it should have been dealt with. I mean, I'm taking using Simon's, he says this with a lot of situations. They're now trying to go against the PGMOL and have their anger and frustration at them when the protocols are in place for how these officials are delegated games already.
Yeah.
Why would they change it just because Forrest sent them a letter the week before? Mm. And which and moving on from that, apparently that Mark Clattenburg and Howard Webb said that was fine.
It is a reach.
There's no
it?
Issue with it.
It is a reach, and I don't know who said it the other day about the competency, or more to the point, the risk profile of the scrutiny that these people are put under. I know they might find a silver bullet. There might be something in there they can really point to and go, "See, told you." I think it'll be about competency rather than corruption. But the idea that, and you never underestimate the stupidity of people, but the idea that knowing the way that people operate, knowing the level of temperature that was rising at Nottingham Forest that you've seen before, that you would put yourself in a way, both for Stuart Atwell as an individual and Howard Webb and the PGMOL appointment board that make these decisions, I tell you what we'll do. We'll put ourselves right in the eye of a storm here. We'll put ourselves right in the eye of jeopardy by compromising all the principles that we're supposed to stand by and allow something that comes out of the ether. That is why Forest have toned down their statements where they talk about, we do not, in any shape or form, paraphrasing, believe that Mr. Atwell would ultimately, and these situations would manifest themselves. But in future, maybe we can avoid this by clarifying.
But that's my point why I brought it up, because this isn't something new. So the PGMOL must have a protocol on how they delegate the games to certain person, and they've come across this before.
Well, the argument from a caller yesterday that made it rather well, actually, was that if you acknowledge the fact that allegiances need to be declared at the beginning of the season, then you must acknowledge the fact that allegiances cause you concern.
Yeah.
Right. So if Stuart Atwell indeed is a dyed-in-the-wall Luton fan that grew up next door to Eric Morecambe right, and can't wait to wear and call himself a hatter, then ultimately you're going to find yourself in that invidious position. But we don't know that.
The world's most dangerous download. Outspoken with White and Jordan. From the world's biggest sports radio station, Talk Sport.
There are even reports at this stage mid-morning that Liverpool have indeed opened talks with Feyenoord for Arne Slot. Let's find out if that is indeed the case. One man will know that, whether it's true or not, and he's top journalist in Holland, Marcel van der Kraan. Marcel, good morning to you. Is it the case, from your knowledge, that Liverpool are now in talks with Feyenoord for Slot?
Yes, absolutely. I've got full confirmation from both ends. Feyenoord have confirmed that there is big talks going on, and from the camp of Arne, there are also very strong signals that they realise that things are moving. Richard Hughes is in contact, which I think is a football or sporting director of Liverpool, is in contact with the CEO of Feyenoord, and what I understand over the last 15 minutes is that Feyenoord have received the first offer of several millions, and we talk about more than 5 million pounds for Arne Slot, but I tell you now, that will not be enough.
Okay, to get him out of Feyenoord, they're negotiating the fee that would do that. But what you're saying is the opening offer from Liverpool to do that will be insufficient in Feyenoord's eyes.
Absolutely, yes. See, Feyenoord are really, really happy with his manager. And I can understand why. He is, in my opinion as well, one of the best managers in the history of the club. He's brought the kind of football, and yesterday I called it a little bit cheekily crazy and sexy football, but he's brought the football Feyenoord fans thought they would never see in their stadium. It's so attacking. It is probably what made Dutch football big in the 70s, you know, what we used to call total football. Mm. Attacking like crazy on behalf of the opponents, taking big risks. And I just heard you guys talking earlier about coming back from losing positions, you know, taking the big risk. Throws similarities to what Pep Guardiola does, you know, high line. Sometimes you get beaten on the counter, but this team is always good enough to you know, really demolish the opposition with the amount of attacking. And in that way, he is almost a Klopp 2.0. You know, some of the descriptions you just gave on the show, you guys, are very good. It's exactly that's how it is. And Feyenoord do not want to lose, really, this kind of manager because he's brought success. He's really developed the players, which has led to bigger transfer fees than they've ever had. There is interest all over Europe for their players, and every time he's had to build a team from scratch, because when he sold all the best players last year, he had to buy 13 or 14 new players, and he wins the cup, he takes it to the Champions League for the second time.
Sure.
And the football was great again.
That all sounds... Marcel, just before Danny and Simon come in, and they're eager to do that, you know Slot. So if the talks are now underway, will Slot want to go to Liverpool?
He is absolutely desperate to go to the Premier League, and he only wanted to do it if a big enough club would come, because Feyenoord gave him such a big contract. They have given him a Premier League salary. He is on almost £4.5 million a year. Now, that sort of money has never been paid in the history of Dutch football to any manager in the Eredivisie, because our league has never been big enough for that. But because he's so good, they wanted to do that, and they thought they had secured him till the summer of 2026 with that sort of money. Now, that means to compensate the loss of the quality of him,
yeah,
and because of the wages they pay him, they will demand a big, a huge fee.
That's what I was going to ask you, Marcel. I mean, there was indexing of him to Tottenham a year or so ago, so clearly there's a motivation, and you've already determined that he wants to come and manage for one of the big sides in the Premier League. He's contracted to 2026. Do you have any insight as to what the contractual obligations are like in terms of the compensation payments that will have to be made? Or is it just a fast and loose negotiation?
He has no clause in his contract, which is very unusual, actually, because if you really are that desperate, if I had been the advisor, I would have said, look, I'll sign a new contract, but...
I want a release clause.
These clauses, yes. Well, that's not the case. I have just written this morning in the Dutch Telegraph that I think the money will have to come up to 50 million euros, which is about 12.5-13 million pounds.
I mean, if Liverpool balk at those, I mean, I'm not suggesting they will, if he's got no release clause in his contract, then the manager can literally turn around to the club and say, I really don't want to be here, and you've got a manager here that doesn't want to be here. Does he have that sort of character if it came down to that, if the negotiations came such a problem because, you know, Feyenoord want so much money that Liverpool don't want to pay it? Could you see, well, it depends what they ask for.
Liverpool,
I mean, Chelsea,
Liverpool,
but
will get it done.
There's been a precedent where Chelsea paid 20 million quid for Potter. Mm. So I'm just asking Marcel to see what the character of the fellow is. Could you see any issue between Feyenoord and the manager coming to the fore if the commercial negotiations break down because Feyenoord's expectations of what they'd be able to get at Liverpool aren't Liverpool's expectations of what they're prepared to pay?
It's a really good point. And actually, we saw that very situation 12 months ago. A couple of days after winning the league, Tottenham came It came to negotiations. Daniel Levy was offering money, bigger money, and Feyenoord would not buckle. And in the end, he decided, OK, then I'll stay with Feyenoord. And he carried on as a happy manager, and he sulked a bit maybe for a bit, but then in the end said to everybody, look, I'm happy. I should be glad with the job I've got. So in that way, he's a very sporting, positive manager. I've never seen him in any press conference after any defeat in a nasty way. He's a really, really good communicator, not just with the media, but in particular with his players. And I think in that way, there is a very similar, you know, sort of background as to what Klopp has as a manager.
Can I ask you one question? Because he's managing over there, of course, as Ten Hag did, and he's had success, and people are liking the way he plays. What is the difference with the two? Because Ten Hag's come here and ultimately struggled. The team's gone backwards and he's being criticised, and a lot of chat is, well, he wasn't prepared to come to a big club like because he's only managed in Holland. What would you say gives Slot the edge over Ten Hag, or the difference that he could be a success at Liverpool?
I would say that he's a far more relaxed man. He's a brilliant communicator, and he has incredible self-confidence about his playing style. Mm. And that leans very much towards Pep Guardiola. His style, his way of football, from the very beginning as a coach, whether he was with a small club, his next club base at Alkmaar and at Feyenoord, whoever he played in the Champions League, never ever adapted to any team. And in that way, I've seen where Ten Hag has made, would lead towards the other team and you know, change the style of his team.
His
side was not good enough.
Marcel, now, you've got huge experience in this. Does this get done before the end of the week? We're at Wednesday now.
I expect it to be done in the weekend, and my only reservation is it's another manager from Holland who has never played in the Premier League, and that I've always said could be a bit of a problem, because you have to know the culture and the atmosphere of you know, English football. And my reservations are really against all that sort of those sort of transfers. You know, every Dutch manager has struggled so far, in my opinion.
Okay, maybe he'll be the exception to prove the rule. Marcel van der Kraan, thank you so much for that. It should be noted that Arne Slot's Feyenoord are some 9 points
second in the league,
trailing PSV Eindhoven, who are heading towards an Eredivisie title.
The world's most dangerous download. Outspoken with White and Jordan. From the world's biggest sports radio station, Talk Sport.
Thanks for listening to Outspoken with White and Jordan. Please leave us a 5-star review wherever you get your podcast from. We're back tomorrow to bring you the best of the show.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And is all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Cool fact, a crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Also, you can get health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for you. Learn more at uh1.com.